our Lord Jesus, we are here to hear from you. And we ask that, Lord, you speak to us. Speak to us through your word. Speak to us through your word. Change our lives through your word. Change our stories through your word. Show us your way through your word. And stir our spirit to work for you through your word, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Take your seat in the beauty of holiness. So we are doing Work for the Lord series because our theme for this year is Work for the Lord. Amen. And I'm doing a foundational series that will take us a number of weeks to complete. And the foundational series is titled Understanding Your Relationship with God. As an employer myself, I said to you last week that there are different people who work for me, and all these people who work for me, I have very different levels of relationship with them. There are those who just see me as their boss. There are those who see me as both their boss and their bishop. And there are those who see me as their boss, their bishop, and their daddy. There are those who see me as their boss, their bishop, and their friend. There are those who see me as their boss, their bishop, and their enemy. You see, all these different levels of relationships impart the way they work. Okay, imparts the way that they work. There are even people in church who have different levels of relationships with me. There are some, their relationship with me is bishop congregation. Beyond that, there is no relationship. I come to church at Pleasant Place Church, and this is my bishop. You know me from the pulpit. You have not even spoken to me before. You don't have understanding of who I am. It really affects the way you work with here in church. There are those whose relationship with me is bishop daddy. So they have this very close. And the things they do here, they do them because beyond being church members, they have this personal connection to me. And they want to make sure that whatever God has called me to do, that thing must come to pass. And my success is their success. They are very excited when they see that people have come to church and there are plenty. And then they're excited. They are not excited when they come to church and people have not come. Oh, this Sunday attendance was low. And you could see from their faces that they are depressed that attendance was low. And there are those who, whether people come to church or not, what is their matter? They came. Do you understand? So different levels of relationships have a way in which it impacts you. But amongst your children, if you're a parent, you realize that some of your children is father-child relationship. Some have father-child-friend relationship. And some put off lights when you are preaching. What is going on? Is it like it's some... work for God is determined by your understanding of your relationship with God. The way, if he's, some people see God as their supplier. Finish. It is the receiver-giver relationship. God is my giver. I'm the receiver. And that is finished. Even in marriage, there are some wives, this is my husband, I'm your wife. Finished. There are some husbands, you are my wife, I'm your husband. Finish. Sex, children, chop money. I give you chop money, you give me sex, we have children. And there are some that the relationship is husband or wife, husband, wife, wife, husband, and friendship relationship. So they are friends. So apart from the chop money, sex, children, they also, you can see them conversing, you know, And those people, their commitment to each other is different. Did you know there are some wives, when they are even serving their husbands, they grumble in their heart and then they are angry. Then, if the man is not at home, they will say with their mouth, stupid man, but now go and see where he is. Sitting somewhere and chatting with friends, I'm here suffering. They will insult the man till the man appears. When the man comes, your food is there, go and take. Because the relationship is not solid. And there are some marriages, the woman's relationship with the man, when she's cooking for the man, working for the man, you see her singing. And you don't know whether the mbrani is for the husband or is for Eja. You get it? You are the words in the music. You are the song that I sing. You are the melody. You don't know. You don't know. You are the breath I... That's how you sing it? You are the breath I breathe. Okay, yeah, yeah. Pastor Kobe says is Pastor Wallace. Okay, Wallace. Pastor Wallace says, you are the breath I breathe. You get it? Because the relationship is good. So whatever you are doing for the person, you do it from the bottom of your heart. You do it with some amount of respect and value. So I'm a bishop. My children will have to choose. Okay, my relationship with my dad is daddy, friend, bishop. It changes everything. Do you understand? It changes everything. Like Moby sees me, husband, friend, bishop. So it changes. It's a different ball game altogether in my home. So I'm trying to say that understanding your relationship with someone has impact on your the sacrifices you make for that person. So understanding your relationship with God will impact how you work for Him. The commitment you have to God is a reflection of your understanding of your relationship with God. So last week I started this, and then I said we are going to look at the 8 types of relationships. It could be more as I go on. The potter-clay relationship, the master-servant relationship, the father-children relationship, the shepherd-sheep relationship, the vine-branch relationship, the commander-soldier relationship, the king subject relationship, the savior sinner relationship, and then the potter clay relationship. So we are going to look at these 8. And last week I started with the potter clay relationship between God and you. So God is the potter and you are the clay. For our introduction statement last week, I said, for your hands to work for God, the hand of God must first work on you. To become God's workman, you must first become His workmanship. Like me, to occupy a certain position in my office, I have to train you. Okay? I have to prepare you. I have to make sure that you are my workmanship in order for you to work for me. At the beginning of this year, I met with my staff. I did one day training for them. I showed them the vision, where we were going, what I want to happen. So every year we have a team, and then we go by that team, and then I will talk to them because they have to become my workmanship for them to work for me. So the theme this year is trust. Trust for our office. It's trust. And so it's two for T-R-U-S-T. And then I shared it with them. And I told them what I'm expecting from them. Okay, so if you come to Accra Business School and we are getting results, it's because my workmen are my workmanship. Now, God wants you to become His workmanship. so that you can work for him. I explained to you that in Genesis 2 verse 7, the Bible says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So the clay potter relationship between God and the Christian started, between God and man, actually started in the Garden of Eden, where God is the potter, man became the clay, and God formed man from there. But then 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So the question is, why does God need a new creation? Because the one he created, the Garden of Eden, had become corrupted by sin. The sin of Adam and Eve corrupted God's original creation. So now God needed to recreate. But in this recreation, God decided not to create in the Garden of Eden, but he decided to recreate in Christ. Do you understand? Because when you are created in Christ, you cannot be corrupted again. Are you here? So therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So now, God has recreated you in Christ. So, in the Garden of Eden, God created you in that garden. Through Adam, we are all born with the DNA of Adam in us, sinners. Now, God recreates you. When you get born again and you accept Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, God recreates you. But this time, not in the Garden of Eden, but in Christ. So there is a new DNA. I was telling people in the garden this morning that when the Lord called my preterm granddaughter home, I decided to look at the baby myself and went in there and carried the baby on my chest. And the baby was the exact picture of her mother. The exact picture of her mother. I mean, you know, children have to grow a little before you see the difference. But this one, the exact picture of her mother. You see, you can't, whatever you come out from, you look like the thing. We came out from Adam and we looked like Adam. But now we have come out of Christ and we must look like him. Do you understand? So if a man gives birth and the baby does not look like the wife or the man or their combination, then the man wants to do a DNA. Oh, yes. Then the man wants to do a DNA. Do you know that people can look at Pastor Titi Ofe and say, hey, you look like your grandfather. It's a serious thing, oh. You walk like your father. When you look at Titi Bia, like mommy, Nana, like me, Mami Sawa, like me. Do you understand? So whatever comes out of you, you must look. So if you are here in church and you don't look like Christ, you don't behave like him, you don't talk like him, maybe you are still the Garden of Eden creation, not the one that is recreated in Christ. Okay? Now, I don't want to waste time on it because last week I explained. But let me show you how this recreation is done. God used the same method. God used the same method in the Garden of Eden, but this time it's in Christ. Ephesians 2:10, New Living Translation. Now, for we are God's masterpiece. Now, immediately you hear masterpiece, your mind must go to an artist. Your mind must go to a writer. Your mind must go to somebody who is creative, who is skillful, like a potter in a clay. So the Bible says, we are God's masterpiece. Look at the scripture from the New Living Translation. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. He repeats the same thing in 2 Corinthians. Christianity is man who was created in the Garden of Eden, being recreated again in Christ. Do you understand? In Christ, this time in Christ, so that you can become incorruptible. But the process is the same. The process is still God taking the clay and forming something great out of that clay. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the things he planned for us long ago. So that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Do you understand? So listen. So what are these good things that God created us to do? What are these good things? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. How did Jesus do good? Healing the sick, preaching the gospel, and healing the sick. You see, the good things God created you to do is to do his work. So God created a garden, put Adam in it and said, work it. Adam did not create the garden. The garden was not the responsibility of Adam. But God says, I created you to take care of the garden for me. Do my work. It's the same thing here. The work he planned for us to do in the Garden of Eden, he has recreated us in Christ and is asking us to do it. Are you here with me? Oh, and this time as a masterpiece. Now, so last week I took you through here. I explained all these things to you. And then we came to the seven potters in your life. That whilst God is a potter and he's trying to make a masterpiece out of you, he's trying to reform you, recreate you, and do something out of you, there are others that are also interfering in God's affairs in your life. Parents, education, experience, friends, etc., etc. But today, we are still on part one of the series, Understanding Your Relationship. We are in session one. Let's call Understanding Your Relationship with God as session one of the series, Understanding Your Relationship with God. So Understand Your Relationship with God is session one of the series, Working for God. In session one of the series, Working for God, part one is the potter clay relationship. Okay? Now, in part one, I have episode two. Don't get confused. We'll be fine. But I'm going to teach you a lot this year. And I'll show you from the scriptures why you need a teaching pastor. Why you need a teaching pastor. Okay? So let's go. Episode two of part one. From the clay to a vessel of honor. Surviving the processes and procedures. From the clay to a vessel of honor. Surviving the processes and procedures. I want to show you why some of us do not end up becoming masterpieces. Okay? And why some of us have not become the kind of people God wants us to become. Now, sometimes you guys look at pastors and the big things God is using us to do. And you think it's because we are pastors. No, it's because we have survived the processes. If Dr. Che, for instance, survives the same processes I've survived in his field as an oncologist, God can make him the greatest oncologist ever. Like one of the greatest men is a cardiologist, Dr. Carson. What is his name? Ben Carson. If you watch his movie, Ben Carson was actually Is it dialistic? Was not intelligent from the beginning. But he believed that God touched him. His movie is called The Gifted Hands. He believed God gave him the wisdom. Because he's a believer. God gave him the wisdom and the ability, and he survived the process. Among the several, he's the first of many things that he has done in his life. A boy from a poor home. So you see, in your chosen field, anytime you look at yourself, that you have been recreated to do God's work. And God's work, the pulpit is only 10% of God's work. The 10% of God's work is done in the pulpit. The rest is done outside the church. The rest is done in your office. The rest is done amongst your friends. At the heart of working for God is evangelism. The rest is done among your friends, among your family. In fact, the rest is done with your children and the house. The rest is done with your siblings. The major part of God's work is done with your friends, siblings, your friends and families, and the colleagues that you work with in the office. God has put you there for a purpose. If we're a teacher in the classroom, all the children under you must be your aim, that they must be born again. They must be born again. They must know God. If you're a doctor like Dr. Chen, you have to make sure that there's no patient that will come around you who will not accept Jesus. Especially with the work you do, you see a lot of people dying. In fact, you can tell people they will die in 3 months, or they will die in 6 months, or they will die in 12 months. It must be your responsibility to make sure that the person that you have diagnosed to die in 3 months, that person must know Christ. Do you understand? Deacon Savior must make sure all the students that come through him must know Jesus. They must know something about Jesus. They must hear something about Jesus. That at the heart of working for God. So anybody at all can become a masterpiece in the hands of God. And the purpose of God making you a masterpiece is to exalt Christ Jesus, evangelize the lost, and edify the saved. Any success you achieve in life, that does, as a Christian, that does not glorify God, that does not exalt Christ Jesus, and does not evangelize the lost, and does not edify the saved, that success is not called good success. If you look at good, the Bible calls it good, the success that evangelizes the Lord, the success that is based on biblical principles and obedience to God, is called good success. Oh, yes. So I want to show you the stages, what you go through, what God takes us through. And how God wants us to become, how God wants us to become masterpieces and wants to use us to do amazing things. First, let me lay the foundation. This is a very strong scripture. And I want you, if you like, go and look for it, print it, put it in your bedroom, put it in your toilet, put it at everywhere you find yourself. And make sure that this scripture must be bombarding your mind, must be bombarding you all the time. Isaiah 45 verse 9. From the New Living Translation. What sorrow awaits those who argue with their creator? Hey! What sorrow awaits those who argue with their creator? Does a clay pot argue with its maker? Does the clay dispute with the one who shapes it, saying, "Stop, you are doing it wrong"? Does the pot exclaim, "How clumsy can you be?" Can I read that scripture again? Can we read that scripture? Can we all stand and read the scripture from the screen? Let's all of us stand, look at the screen. Let's read this scripture from the screen. Let's read this scripture from the screen. 1, 2, let's go. That's right. Sit down. Thank you. It's in the Bible. I didn't write the Bible. This is a very important scripture that you should not forget this year. Can the, what sorrow awaits those who argue with their creator? Do you know how sometimes we argue? You see, this is what I'm teaching you. You see, this is what I'm teaching you and what I'm calling you to do. You see, it's God speaking through me. And so that you can argue with God. I'm not ready for this. I can't do this. I can't do that. Now, do you know that there are two major ways to hear from God? Two major. And these major things are very, very reliable. Number one, when you are studying God's word. God speaks to you through his word. When you are studying God's word. Number two, when a born-again, spirit-filled preacher is preaching to you, God is speaking through you. Like what I'm preaching now, God is speaking to you through what I'm preaching. And you can decide to argue with God. You can decide to say that you, the work that you do, you are separating your Christian evangelistic work from the work that you are doing. You can argue with God. You can say that until the pastor calls for evangelism, you are not going to do evangelism. You can argue with God that when the pastor calls for evangelism, you can say that this is not my area. You know, there are some people who feel that evangelism is not their area. But whatever you do for God, if it does not end up in these three things, if it does not exalt Christ Jesus, does not evangelize the lost, and does not edify the saved, it doesn't meet the standard of God. It does not meet the standard of God. Never, never, never. If you are not evangelizing, you are arguing with your creator. If your phone is ringing whilst I'm preaching, you are arguing with your creator. If you are sleeping whilst I'm preaching, you are arguing with your creator. If you're a choirster and you come this week and you don't come next week, and then next time you are in the stage, sometimes I get surprised. There's some people that I will see in the choir. I say, hey, where did this person go? And then they come and sing, and you know they have returned. They have returned. And they are in it first Sunday, second Sunday, third Sunday. And when they come, they dance more than everybody. They want us to know that they have come. They have come. And then by the fourth Sunday, you don't see them again. And you won't see them like a number of weeks, and then they will come again. There are those I know that they are working somewhere. They have been transferred. Not my son who came to lead a song last week. I'm not referring to John, eh? No, John is, immigration officer somewhere. But he has to start a church there. He doesn't have to argue with God. John, start Pleasant Place Church. Don't argue with God. Don't say, hey, no, for me, I can't do these things, so. There's nothing, nobody. No, when God called Moses, Moses said, I can't talk. When he was sending Jeremiah, didn't he say he was too young? Yeah. There is nobody God has ever called who can do what God has asked him to do. But God wants to do it through you. That's all. All you have to say is, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. All, that is all that you have to say. I can't do, I can't do. God knows you can't do it, but he says, I want to do it through. God does not even like people who say, I can do. God doesn't like I can do people. Like Jesus would have gone for the Pharisees and the Sadducees who already knew the Torah. Not the Kobolo boys by the sea. No, 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 no. Not the Kobolo boys by the sea. No, 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 no. At all. God went for the people who they know. And I'll show you right now. God knows that they. What is the most useless thing? It's dust, sand. You don't want it in your house. You take broom, you sweep it. You sweep it away. And when God was creating man, he decided not to choose mango. Or God could have finished creating everything. And God would have chosen gold to create man. But he chose what nobody respects, what nobody values, what is abundant everywhere, what is known everywhere. What do you sweep away? Don't you feel that dust is worrying you? Don't you move from areas that are not taught? when your road is not tarred, you want coal tar to come and bury the dust. So God just wants you to know that I am not looking for already made materials. I'm looking for raw materials. God would not have called me. God walked away from all my friends at cantonment, my friends at airport residential area, and all those things, and came all the way to Adabraka, Hausa Gono, opposite the mosque, Atabebishia, for the only tenants in that house who live in some room with 9 of us inside with one window. The house, the roof was not sealed. And when we sleep, we see. In the house, they used to plant rat. No, kusi in our house. And you see, it's only in our house that you will see a mouse chasing a cat. And God said, I want a bishop who will pastor at Pleasant Place Church and own a university. I want a bishop from that room. I want a bishop from there. I want a bishop because God is the God that believes in the dust. What nobody likes, what everybody rejects. Tina, you understand what I'm sharing? This is why you understand what I'm sharing. This is how you understand. And Teresa, you understand. Pastor Henry, you understand. Elder, you understand. I'm preaching God's word the way it is. I'm not adding, I'm not subtracting. I'm preaching God's word, undiluted, unadulterated. It is for you to either take it or reject it. It is for you to argue with your maker. And sorrow awaits those who argue with their maker. Sorrow awaits those who are telling their maker, I can't do it. You have declared, work for me, and at the heart of work for the Lord is evangelism. I am afraid to evangelize. I don't know how to evangelize. He's not calling you to do what you know. He's calling you to do what he knows so that he will do it through you. Do you know how many hours it takes me to come before I come and stand here? Do you know how many hours I spend before God studying and praying? Do you know how many hours? Because I don't know how to preach. I don't know how to preach. But I have to allow him to preach through me. I have to allow him to take his word and preach. That is his word. And preach through me. I am only a spokesperson. Nothing. Without him, I can do nothing. He's not asking for your degree to use. He's not asking for your beauty. He's not asking for your handsomeness. He's only asking for your availability. It's for you to say, Lord, here I am. I'm available. You may not use me as a preacher, but whatever you want to use me to do, I am available. When we have to understand that every child that has passed through TCIS, on the judgment day, should be asked, why did the person not get born again? Every student coming through Accra Business School, so I have to start telling my staff to now, every month, they have to give me an hour with the entire student body to tell them about Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. Are you here with me? Now, does a clay pot argue with this maker? I mean, your maker can just take you and smash. And you want to argue? Sister Clay, you want to argue? Brother Clay, you want to argue with your maker? You want to argue? Because shape has come in you. They have shaped you. That little shape, that little formation, now you want to argue with your maker? You want to argue with your maker? All he has to do is to take you and smash you. Now, you see, all my life, I've always prayed, God, let me not argue with you. Let me just do what you tell me to do. If I were arguing with God, I wouldn't be here. I would by now be somewhere in Sweden. Probably I would be a cleaner in a hospital or something. Oh yes, because when I was a student, the way I didn't have money, I would have chosen to be a cleaner somewhere. I would have been a cleaner somewhere in some hospital in Sweden. But now I'll be calling relatives. I'll be telling them about, but here I am because I listen to him. Okay, let me quickly share the processes you must go through. And I want you to know that my watch is not working, so I don't even know the time now. I just want you to know before anybody accuses me of not closing early. So when the time is up, give me signal. Okay? Give me signal that, or those who can blow whistle, I'll stop. So the process is discovering the clay, developing the clay, designing the clay, drying the clay, decorating the clay, the durability of the clay, and delivering the clay. These are the processes you must go through. Oh, yes. Discovering the clay. So you see, at this stage, there is an idea in the mind of the potter that he wants to create a certain thing. Okay? So an idea exists in the mind of the potter. Then the potter decides he wants to create a certain thing. Okay? Now, the potter begins to go out to now look for a clay to create what is existing in his mind. Okay? To create what is existing in his mind. So he goes out to look for it. Okay, so look at, oh, Charlie, you have to move this thing. I've gone cry. Oh, why are you arguing with your maker? Discovering the clay. Now the process begins with an idea in the mind of the potter, and he or she starts looking for a suitable clay. So Jeremiah 1 verse 5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nation. So before you were born, can I tell you that before my children, you see, because in my mind existed a family. I remember even before I met mommy, I used to go and visit the family. And I remember all those things when I was preaching to the family and I was telling them, when I marry, I'll give birth to children and I'll do this with my children and I want my children to become like this. So before Pastor Titi Ofe came, before Mami Sewa came, before Nanedu came, before Titibia came, they already existed in my mind. It was because these children were existing in my mind that I now had to go and look for a wife. So that by marrying, I can produce them. So those of you who are not married here, you know, you have in your mind the children you want to give birth to. Some of you want to born one, some two, some three, some seven, and then the greedy people want to born 12. You know? Yeah. And you want to born my first child. Some of you can even say my first child will be a boy or a girl, and I will call her this or I'll call him this, and you will go to this school and we become like this. Yeah, I remember even before. Long ago, we used to go to Ahudumi Estate for evangelism, and I saw a school, Kidikup. Hey, I love the school, Kidikup, because one of the sisters used to work there. Do you know Kevin went to Kidikup? Was his first nursery. I used to have some car, some Passat B. I used to drive Kevin to Kidikup. And I didn't know how to drive well. And I still put him in the car. Now I look back and say, God, you are indeed a potter, I am the clay. Because I should have died with Pastor Tiofe around that time. But I said, my son must go to Kidiku. So you understand, even the human being, we try to create what exists in our minds. So if you right now, you even want to create your wife, you are married to your wife, but your wife does not look like the picture that existed in your mind. So you want to recreate. I'm telling you, some of you are married to some men and you want to recreate them in you. Am I here? Did you understand what I'm teaching you so far? Are we moving on? So now God will go out to look for a clay to try to create what exists in his mind. Let us make man in our image. So before God even decided to go to look for the clay, he knew what he wanted to create. So you have to understand that God is always looking for someone to create for a certain purpose. And the fact that you are alive today, I want you to know that God created you for an assignment. At the heart of that assignment is to evangelize the lost, edify the saved, and exalt Christ Jesus. You have to understand it, or else that shall fail. I believe, I honestly believe, from the heart of my heart, that the reason why among all the motivational speakers that came in the 90s, I was the only one who was able to convert what I was doing into what I've become right now, was because at the heart of what I was doing was evangelism. I was sharing my testimonies at every seminar and leading people to Christ. At every seminar, people became uncomfortable. There were people who approached me, so you don't have to tell all these things about your father being a beggar and all those things. But I was leading top people to Christ. At the heart of my training, just training organization, the African Center for Leadership and Human Resource Development, it was nothing, it was nothing. But I did not argue with my maker. In fact, in some of the cases, when I see the people who have come and sitting down there, I was afraid to go and share the gospel. I'm telling you. I was training police officers, 40 female police commissioners. I was afraid to tell them about Jesus. Well, I looked at the names. Some of them did not have Christian names. They have other names belonging to other religion. And I was afraid. And my maker said, in the lectures you are presenting, at the end of it, talk about yourself, about my life, about how I saved you. And I was afraid. But I couldn't argue with my maker. I could not argue with my maker. If you like, you do what I'm doing, I'm telling you. Look at yourself as a clay in the hands of a potter who has created you for a certain purpose. And everything you do, at the heart of it, work for God. Extract the audio versions of my sermon. And when you go to the office, put it on your phone and play it. Just play it. One of my sons said to me that a couple came with a very difficult situation. After he listened to the two of them, he didn't know how he was going to solve it. And remembered that some of my original Marriage 360 series, he had one. So he told them that, when they finished talking, he said, can I'm going somewhere. Can you accompany me? When I come, I will solve this problem. So he put them in his car and slotted in my sermon. And he drove on marriage. Drove, sir, Takwashi ran about and turned around and drove back to community 25. When he got down, he brought them to his house and said, okay, now let's talk. They said, give us the CD, we are finished. That CD, we want that CD. And they took the CD, and that was it. That was it. Why are you afraid to even on your Facebook wall to declare yourself? What are you hiding? What are you hiding? Why are you afraid to declare that you are a Christian? Why is everybody not aware that you are a Christian? I went to Pastor Wale's office. His boss, when I finished talking to his boss and I was going and they were looking for him, his boss said, where is Osofo? At that time, I ordained him as a pastor. His boss said, where is Osofo? Where is Osofo? He were calling him Osofo. Are you here with me? Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? The way all of you are quiet, it's like I'm boring you. Oh, no. It's okay. I want to bore you. The message of the cross is an offense. Now, you have to wake up. The way you are leading your Christian life is as if you are still in the Garden of Eden. As if you have not been recreated in Christ. It's as if the way your understanding of who you are as a Christian, the kind of life you are leading, all this fighting here, battling here, doing all manner of things, sleeping with people you are not married to, all those things. It doesn't look like you understand what it means to become a Christian. That's like you understand it. Okay, let me go. So a potter has gone to look for a clay. Can I go on? Now, developing the clay. This is another. You see, the raw clay contains various impurities like stones, roots, and organic matter. Can I tell you something? That, you see, there are people who say that they I met someone, he said to me that, you see, I want to stop sinning before I come to church. The first time I wanted to lead my big brother to Christ, it was in the 80s. Was it 80s? I think the 80s or 90s, early 90s. So I shared the gospel with him. I said, okay, now let's pray the sinner's prayer. I said, say these things. You say, oh, Kofi. Take your time, man. I have to go back to Germany. So the way I will re-enter Germany is sinful. So let me commit this last sin, and then I'll accept Jesus. Oh, he was very honest about it. At that time, they used to go travel with fake documents and all those things. So he said, I'm going to do some fake. If I accept Jesus now, I cannot do the fake things. So let me go, and when I finish, I'll come. So when God comes to take a clay, he does not take a clean clay. He's aware that the clay he's taking, that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the qualification to come into church, to come into Christ, is not righteousness. You are made righteous in him. You cannot be made righteous outside him. You are made righteous in him. So come just the way you are. He goes, takes the impurity in the clay with stones, with roots of trees in them, with pieces of things that he does not need. But here is the thing. To be able to develop the clay to become what he wants to become. Because at the end of it, when the clay is produced, those stones and roots would devalue it if it still remains in it. So now God has to take, the potter has to go through the process of breaking it. They can hit the thing down, bang, and mash it, and mine it, and go take it through a lot of things to get this thing out. So you see, Jeremiah 18 verse 4, and the vessel that he made of the clay was marred in the hand of the potter. When God is developing you, not that you yourself, you are confused. He takes some friends out of your life, takes some people out of your life. He can even take a job out of your life. I'm telling you, he can even make you a rich person poor. In fact, God can even make you sick. Because he has been telling you not to go to that disco, but you have been going. So he said, okay, I need you the next 3 months. So be sick the next 3 months. Lie in your bed. When you are lying in your bed for 3 months, you'll be thinking about me. You'll be praying. Do you understand? You know God can make even somebody you love the most die. As a way of bringing you closer to him. Do you know that if you go through anything painful and it takes you away from God, it was because you were not already in him. True born again people, you come closer to God when you go through the most painful things in your life. Hey. I've seen people, fornicators, with smoke. Now, there was a guy, he was very popular. He comes from mommy's hometown. He was called G-Man. He played a song. Calypso, sunshine is sun, la 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 la. I mean, it's only the old people here who will, and they just sing that song. Eh? You know how to sing that song? Ah. It is, you know it. Yeah, you know it. You should dance with it, isn't it? All of us, we should dance with it. That guy, eh? Killed someone. He was so popular, become arrogant. A taxi driver, he argued with taxi driver. A friend came to him, the taxi argued that. And the friend that was put in prison with him because he killed the taxi driver, and the friend was also charged as abetment to crime or something. That guy lived on the same road with us at Adaraka. We were living with a family in Adaraka. I was special with the family. So they were put in prison. Do you know that guy is an evangelist? And it looked like God felt that this clay is so stubborn. The only way I can get that impurity out of this clay is to take him somewhere. Let him go somewhere. Go on. You are called to preach. The one we're going, there used to be a guy who was called Benjilo. Benjilo was the biggest, like the way we know people now. The guys at East Legon, Executive Club, all those people, your generation, you know, Kwame Despite. We knew Benjilo and those people. Benjilo was the biggest guy. The one day we just woke up and said, Benjilo has been arrested with cocaine. They jailed him for 10 years. Benjilo became a pastor in prison. Today he's preaching. He says, but if God wants to make a masterpiece out of you and you want to make a mess of your life, he will take you through something and you yourself, you will see that, hey, this God, he doesn't chile. You understand chile? Hey, when we're growing up, you say, chile. Me, I don't chele. I don't chele means me, I don't care about anything. If God wants to make a masterpiece out of your life and you want to mess up your life, he will mess it for you. He will mess it well for you. And then after he has messed it well for you, he will make a message out of it. Let me show you one way that God uses to take the impurities out of people. I'll show you one way that God uses to take the impurities out of people. And it's the simplest way, but most people don't want it. So God has to use other methods. But it's the simplest way. Let me show you. Ephesians 5:25-27. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now go, let's do that. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. How does God cleanse us? By washing with water through the word. So he says, I'm preaching now. The word of God is like water. It's cleansing you. It's cleansing you. So one way that God takes, I was studying, next week we have lockdown and the team, the good soldier. So I was studying about the good soldier. And the Lord said, the good soldier is the one that is armed to the teeth. And I started studying about the full armor of God. And I realized that every armor of God on this Christian soldier is the word of God. The helmet of salvation, the word of God. The breastplate of righteousness, your word have I hidden in my heart, the word of God. The shield of faith, if you hear God's word, faith comes by hearing the word. The belt of the gospel of truth, that sanctify them by thy word, for thy word is true. You see, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. I just realized that everything about the Christian life rises and falls on God's word. On God's word. Do you understand? On God's word. That is why teaching churches lasts longer than the other churches. I don't want anybody to come and attack me. Than the other churches. I'm telling you, teaching churches. I've even noticed that the Orthodox churches who don't speak in tongues, and they have a systematic way of grooming their members. From the time you go for confirmation and all those things, the systematic way in which they teach you, they may be teaching the letter, not the spirit.
But even if the letter is taught systematically, it makes more impact than those who teach the spirit in chaotic environment. There's a problem with the charismatics is that we are not the defenders of the faith. We don't take our time to groom and grow people. We want to grow the church more than the people. So we are in a hurry for the crowd, not the cloud. Do you understand? You know, no matter how you preach, no matter how good you are as a pastor, if you don't have a big congregation, even your members begin to question your anointing. Oh, yes. Yes. They don't care how many people will be going to hell. All they care is that we are 1,000, we are 2,000. How many of them will be going to hell? They don't care. See, the pastors that can take God's word and teach it systematically the way I'm teaching it, there are only few. You know, if you like, you check on social media, see how many pastors are teaching God's word systematically, line upon line, precept upon precept. It doesn't happen like that. If there's impurities in your marriage, it will take God's word to clear it. If there is impurities in your children, it will take God's word to clear it. Whatever you are going through that has not met the standard of God, it will take his word to clear it. It has to take a prophet to clear it. Cleansing by the word. It's okay, Daddy, you have been preaching, but I've not been changing. What is the reason? Well, there's water, there's pipe everywhere, but not everybody bath this evening. One day, Noah came to our room. Mommy and I, we were there, Noah, my son, in my house. Mommy said, Noah, this clothes you are wearing, you were wearing it yesterday since morning. You have been wearing this clothes for 24 hours. Noah, you did not bath yesterday. And you didn't. And the thing standing, you were just standing looking at Mommy's face. And there was water in the house. But Noah chose not to bath. There's water here. But if we choose not to bath, that is your own problem. When we were children, we used to do cascot. How many of you know that's cascot? That's the way we used to pray when we were children. When you go to the bathroom, then and then you just do your hair, and then you do your. My mother had a way in which it catches me all the time. My mother was an expert in catching cascot. One day there was no water in the Abraka. I didn't want to go to school. And my mother managed and got me half bucket of water. You know what I did? When I went to the bathroom, I poured it away. But our bathroom had bucket at the end, at the outside. That collects. Didn't have gutter. It was bucket that was collecting the water. So I went and told my mother that somebody has gone to steal my water. It was something they used to do in the house. So there was no water for me to bath. And somebody stole your water. You were supposed to go to school. And then my mother just remembered that. No, Yofi doesn't like going to school. So this water somebody has stolen. Let me go. See, I didn't think fast. Let me go to the bath of the... My mother went to the bath of the bathroom and saw the clean water in the dirty bucket. Her beatings, eh? Oh. Oh. Do you know the beatings that they beat you? And then you go and sit somewhere quietly. Then you are thinking about the beating. I sat down, I was thinking about the beating. I said, ah, me ma mia booming there, papa. Hey, we didn't want to go to school. Said, boy, we don't. Do you know what happened? My mother went to look for water. In fact, people in the house volunteered their buckets of water. Bad boy, you don't want to go to school. Hey, when I was bathing, I was crying. On the judgment day, God will see the buckets of water that I gave to you in this church that you poured away on the judgment day. Yeah. On the judgment day, God will see. Oh, what's the time now? 8:20. 8 what? Okay. So let me close at 8:30. I hope. Hey, my mother really beat me. You see, all these things I'm preaching here is God releasing his word like water. But God cannot force you to bath. You have to bath yourself. When Nelson Mandela was released from jail, I watched that in life. When he was released from jail, all they did was to open the gate. Nobody carried him. He walked out. He walked out. When Pastor Titi Ofe was little, he was born very little. So his jaws were not strong enough to suck the breast. One day I was going on a retreat. I don't know what happened. I decided to come back home. I was going to pick something from the house. We live in an uncompleted building in the center of Latabi Okoshi. We had no electricity. So we're using lantern or candle. See? Then when I go to the compound of the house in the middle of darkness, Pastor Titi Ofe was crying. As a baby, was crying. So when I entered there, I asked him, what is going on? The mommy started crying. Mommy said, I've done everything. This baby is still crying. Do you know why? He was hungry. He could not suck the breast. He was hungry. He could not suck the breast. He was crying. We didn't have money to buy. At that time, there used to be called something called SMA. Gold cap, eh? SMA. We didn't have money to buy it. The only thing we had was breast milk. And so he could not suck the breast milk. He was just crying. See? But I couldn't suck the breast for him. If I had to suck it, I had to suck it for my own pleasure. But now that there was milk inside, he has to suck the milk. And I was even waiting for him to finish the milk so that I can get my thing back. Finish all the milk so I can get my thing back. The boy could not suck the thing. Hey. No matter how I felt for him, I couldn't do anything. That's how it takes. So nobody can lead your Christian life for you. Can we move on? So the next is the designing state. See, this is where now the impurities, everything is now out. Now, the potter now has to design and come out with what is in the mind. So all this while, the potter has something in the mind. Now the potter has to design you and bring you out. Jeremiah 18, 1 to 4. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. I went down to the potter's house. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made was of clay, was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. So different pots, but the same potter. See, all these men of God here, they have different unique ministry. At one point, you see, if you are thirsty, the pot that contains water becomes important. If you are hungry, the pot that has food becomes important. So you see, there are seasons and times for every pot. Seasons and times for every pot. At one point, I was nobody. But I knew my season would come. I knew that one day, somebody will be thirsty for the water I have contained. Or one day, somebody will be hungry for the food that is in me. I was not in a rush. All I had to do was to wait for the potter to shape me. So how many different things do we use pots to do? Put food inside. Some you put food inside to eat. Some you cook the food inside. Some only water. When we're growing up, there used to be one pot called the cooler. Oh, the cooler. Did you see the cooler? Have you ever seen a cooler before? Mommy said, well, have you seen a cooler before? The pot, the cooler. Have you seen some before? Oh. Have you seen a cooler before? You have not. Have you seen a cooler before? Oh, Pastor, where do you see cooler? Well, I know it's a clay something. Have you seen something? Latte. Okay. She went to visit her grandmother. She saw some there. The cooler. And they used to put the waste from the palm kernel. There's a way they burn it and it gives some scent. Then you put water inside. Some way, somehow, that thing will cool the water. And cooler was important for our mothers. So, hey, if you go and fetch water from the riverside, you are coming with a cooler. You have to hold it well. When you are thirsty, the cooler is important. But when you are hungry and you go and take the apotoyua, the eating well, oh, you forget about the cooler. When you see fufu and imbankwan in apotoyua, the last time I bought some, mommy, I bought some big one. Where is it? I told mommy that, you remember when we used to eat together in apotoyua? I said, right now, your house is too buffalized. You have all this. If we see me alone, my spoons, eh? Hey, different spoons for different things. This is daddy's spoon for soup. This is daddy's spoon for soup. This is daddy's spoon for drinking cocoa. If I have cocoa spoon, I have light soup spoon, palm nut soup spoon. Hey, and if we touch it, and the plates, different types of plates. Hey, if you don't know, you go and touch my plate and mommy catches you. But the apotoyua is still the champion. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? So you see, you may be a cooler or apotoyua. Whoever you are still important. All you have to do is that allow God to shape you. You have to start telling God, Father, I surrender to you. Use me. Just do whatever you want to do with my life. I'm sick and tired of me wanting to create me. Just create me yourself. You are the potter. I am the clay. Who am I? I just want you to design me. Just design me. Okay, the next one is drying the clay. You see, sometimes, when you are in the potter's hands, inside the pottery, where he's building you, where he's shaping you, everybody forgets about you. Years ago, when mommy and I were on this Pinterest road, who knew we were there? Suddenly, people started hearing me. City FM, TV3. Hey, do you see that City FM? And there were a lot of pastors. Sunday morning, they would watch me on City FM, and pastors were preparing their notes. They would wait for me to appear on City FM. Was it 6:30 or 6 a.m.? 6 a.m. on City FM and 6:30 on TV3. And I knew pastors who came to see me, brought me offering, that every Sunday morning, they waited for me to come, then they would prepare their sermons. Because after the potter has finished everything in-house, he now has to bring you outside for the sun to shine on you, for you to dry. It won't be very long, the sun will start shining on you. It won't be long. The sun will just shine on you. You'll be brought out there. And look at Isaiah 60 verse 1 from the New Living Translation. Arise, Jerusalem, and shine like the sun. The glory of the Lord is shining on you. You see, they saw the sun as the glory of the Lord shining on them. You just have to live in a village without electricity, without water. You see the importance of the rising of the sun. When the sun rises, you know light has come and you can do whatever you have to do. Stay in the hands. Go through the process. Don't rush. When he has finished shaping you, the sun will rise on you. And everybody will see you. Everybody will hear you. Everybody will know that you are there. Bishop Doug used to play keyboard for Papa, Archbishop. Bishop Doug, yeah. And Pia Kofi was Archbishop's prayer warrior. Yes. I'm telling you. Was Archbishop's prayer warrior. I met people in big churches in UK and in US and all those people who used to live in Archbishop's house, cleaning his car, washing his car. I think Kenneth Kaplan used to be Oral Roberts' driver or something. Did they look at all of them? See, when you are going through the process of getting shape, it's not an easy thing. Because the sun will not shine on you at that time. But when the shape is done, now they have to bring you out to the sun so that you can dry up. May you survive the process. I said, may you survive the process. No matter how long it takes, may you survive the process. No matter how long it takes, may you survive the process.
From the drying, you now go to the decorating. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Psalm 139, verse 14 from the NIV. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Is it not marvelous to see that some men can build 100,000-seater auditorium? Is it not wonderfully complex for you to see how pastors in Ghana are building 15,000-seat auditorium, 22,000-seat auditorium? Yeah. There's a guy who's been 20,000-seat auditorium in Ghana single-handedly, and we can build a 4,000-seater national cathedral. We are fighting. you see, when you go through the hand of God, God creates you. And God takes you. You see, God now decorates you. Is it not a carpenter's son? He's healing the sick. So from the age of 12 to 30, where was he? That is the wonder. That is the wonder. God hides you in the potter's house and begins to mold you and shape you and then brings you to the son. And everybody says, okay, we are seeing him. We will see how he ends. The time they realize God is decorating you. You are becoming wonderful. You are married to a good man. You are married to a good woman. Your children have become signs and wonders for you. Your job is growing. Things are working for you. Then they say, where did he pass? What happened? Has he gone for juju? No! You think God will use you and dump you? You think you work for God and he will not reward you? God does not owe anybody gratitude. There are a group of pastors. Yesterday I was teaching the pastors in the Bible school. I do a lot of things. But this morning we've gone to pray. I'm here, I'm teaching you. You know, there's never a day that will pass that I don't do something for God. Tomorrow we'll be at the forest again at Legon. Some of you should join us. By 5:30, the bus will move from here. If we miss it, there's a place when you get to Legon and you enter out of where the churches are, when you come, there's a place called Miracle Center. We'll be there, we'll be praying. Today I anointed everybody that came. And the prayer meeting was very, very good. Come and join us, let's pray. Tomorrow I'll be there. So God will decorate you now. So we are finishing. The next one is what? Let's go. Next one, the durability of the clay. Now, God knows that when you come out and everybody is now praising you, your marriage is going well. Oh, Bishop Titi Ofeh. Oh, Bishop Titi Ofeh. Oh, this. If you don't take a pride will come into you. Do you know there are many people that success has destroyed them? So God has to make you durable. You have to go through the fire. So at this stage, they put the clay in fire. So the fire can be a trial you have gone through. Fire can be the presence of the Holy Ghost released upon you. Whatever it is. I told you, one of my daughters, she used to come to church when she was in Legon. And I haven't heard from her for years. And then one day she called me. Daddy, we are coming to Ghana. Daddy, can we have a place to stay in your apartment? I said, why not? So they came and then we gave them a place to stay. And then we had a place to stay. And I was having a conversation with them. Daddy, do you know you have not changed? He said, Daddy, when I was going to call you, I was shaking. All the things we have heard about you and what God has done, I felt that at the time I knew you, you were in the wooden structure, and now you have changed. I said, can I, can,
When I was calling you, I was shaking on the phone. When you said you should come, I was so happy. Then when we came, what we even saw was beyond what we heard. My sister, do you know what marvels me? Is that with all these things and the people you know and everything, you are still here sitting down with me, talking to me, as if nothing has changed. And I said, if you go through the processes and survive the procedures and your success is from God, there is only one thing that will bear testimony: humility. 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 So when you see people who have become successful small and they have become arrogant, they cannot be controlled, they cannot be spoken to, and nobody can control them, nobody can talk to them, they have not gone through the process. Their success will not last. Their success will not last. I want all the pastors here to understand that. I'm your spiritual father. You can't outgrow me. You understand? Do you know how much I honor my spiritual father? I honor the man. He sent me WhatsApp. I have to go and see him. I'm waiting for her to go and see him. I still revere his presence. I still revere his presence. I couldn't go to see him this Christmas because of what we went through as a family. See, then when he sent me WhatsApp, I'm packaging what I will say. I'm packaging it. See, I'm trying to package what I will say. I have a bigger chair than him. I'm more popular than him. I'm a bishop, he is not. But the hands that once was laid upon you, you cannot outgrow it. You cannot outgrow it. When he comes to my house, if he has not sat down, I can't sit. Hey, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? If the process you survived it and you went through, you can't become arrogant. Oh. You can't become arrogant. If you think I'm open, I'm jovial, I'm this thing, so you can become familiar with me and you can come and... No. When I started relating on Papa, the archbishop, he started some, Papa is very open, started some jokes with me. I was not responding. But in my mind, no. I'm not your joking partner. Hey, Papa, you want to joke with me, but I won't joke. You want us to have casual conversation, but I won't have. I know whose presence I'm standing. I know whose presence I'm standing. Okay, so finally, I think this is finally. Yes, delivering the clay. Now, after everything has gone through, you know what happens. Now, they will coat the clay with glaze. It will become even more beautiful. Sometimes, when you see the way, you will not even know whether it was a clay or not. Finally, the glory will shine on you. The glory will shine on you. Thank you all very much for coming to church today. The Lord bless you and honor you. The Lord lift you. Lift up your hands and begin to pray. That you want to become a good Christian. You want to say, Lord, I'm a clay in your hands. Take me, use me. Do whatever you want to do with me. Pray this prayer with me. Just lift up your voice and pray.